This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, where it is a sunny day today. Very happy to be here with you all. We are going to be talking about overcoming ADHD overwhelm today. This is part two. So in the last episode, we talked about the two reasons why those of us with ADHD are more prone to experiencing overwhelm. We also dived into the five types of overwhelm that we commonly experience. So those five were to-do list overwhelm, sensory overwhelm, too many steps overwhelm, clutter overwhelm, which is really like the environment, and thought overwhelm. Okay. We also talked about how overwhelm is something that we can manage and experience much less often, especially with practice and the right tools, which is what this episode is about, my friends. So today we're going to dive into what overwhelm is in terms of like the body, where it comes from in the brain. And also we're going to talk about what we've been led to believe about overwhelm and what's actually correct based on the science. Okay. And I'm going to share with you the four steps for overcoming overwhelm, okay? And I have amazing news for my friends, for all of you. I think I spoke too fast. I was trying to say, I've got amazing news for you, my friends, but it just didn't work. I have created a simple PDF guide to go along with this episode so that you don't need to take notes or worry about remembering the steps and how to use the process. I was making the notes for this episode and reflecting on a few things, and I thought that would be really beneficial because sometimes I will like listen to a podcast or an audiobook and I'll be like, oh god damn it, I gotta go back to that, and I'll try and screenshot like the timestamp so that I go back and write things down, like especially if it's an audiobook with things that I really want to write down. I'm like, oh. So to overcome all of that, I just put it into a guide for you and made it super simple. Okay, so there is a short guide to go along with this episode, totally free. You can download that with the link here. Wherever you're listening to this, there is a link in the podcast notes there, right at the top. And also you can head to my website and visit zenajones.com/52, okay? Now you're going to remember the number 52 because 52 means that this podcast right here is 1 year old today. What? Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm of course recording this early, and now I was just, as I said that out loud, I was like, maybe I should get a cake and celebrate, because who doesn't love cake and an excuse to have cake? So how cool is that, my friends? We have been together on this journey for a year, and if you're only just finding us now, welcome. Make sure you hit subscribe, because we do a lot of good shit around here, okay? So in celebration of the podcast being a year old, and also because I really know how much these four steps in this process is going to help you with your overwhelm, I've put it all into a guide, okay? Super simple guide that just walks you through so you know exactly what to do the next time you're overwhelmed. It takes you through each of the four steps, okay? So again, click the link in this episode or visit zenajones.com/52. Okay. So my friends, let's dive into overwhelm. What is overwhelm? Overwhelm is a feeling. Okay. When we are overwhelmed, we are feeling overwhelmed. And what is a feeling? It is a bunch of sensations that we experience in our bodies. Okay. So those sensations, they come in our body, but they're from the neck down. That's how I like to think of it. A feeling is felt from the neck down. So for me, when I experience the sensations of overwhelm, it might look like a racing heart and like a tightening in my chest. And also this kind of restrictive feeling in my arms, like I can't really move. There's also like a pressure on my shoulders. Okay. So that feeling of overwhelm is made up of different sensations in our bodies that we experience. And it's going to vary for each of us. The way that we experience those sensations will be different for each of us. Now, and this is really important, my friends. So lean in close and listen up. We have been led to believe that our circumstances cause our feelings. So for example, I've only got 2 hours today and 20 things that I need to do. So that's why I'm overwhelmed. Okay. We think our overwhelm is because of the amount of things on our to-do list or how much time we have or don't have. But my friends, that's not true. The overwhelm that we feel is because of the thoughts we each think about the number of items on our to-do list or the amount of time that we have. How do we know this is true? Let me demonstrate for you. So yesterday, my to-do list, it actually read this. Make 3 reels for Instagram this week. Write 5 social media posts and schedule each of them. Coach 2 clients and send a follow-up email. Write 1 email, test it and schedule it. Draft a podcast outline and make the graphics. Email 2 people and call the pharmacy. That was 7 things right there. And to give you some context, the client calls each take about 1 hour. Now, all of this was happening between the hours of 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I went and showed my partner this list in preparation for this podcast. I showed him the list and I asked him what he thought. And his response was, "Jesus, are you going to be able to get all of that done? I feel overwhelmed just looking at it." I kid you not. I laughed, right? Because I was like, I think you will probably reference overwhelm. I'm quite sure that that will be his response because I know how his brain works. And it was. Right, when he looked at my list of things that I needed to do yesterday, knowing the time that I had, his response was overwhelm. Whereas I looked at my list and I felt excited. Why? Because we both had different thoughts about the list. Okay? So stay with me, friends, because although this may sound like semantics, I promise you, it is everything. It's not the number of things that you have on your to-do list or the amount of time that you have or don't have. It's the thoughts that we have about those things that cause us to feel overwhelmed. Thoughts like, I have too much to do, I don't have enough time, I don't know where to start, it's all too much, I just can't deal with this right now. Okay? Those are thoughts that cause us to feel overwhelmed. So when I looked at my to-do list yesterday, I had different thoughts to what my partner had when he looked at it. And his thoughts caused him to feel overwhelmed, whereas mine did not. Okay? So what's the difference and why does it matter? So here's the difference. A feeling, which remember we feel from the neck down, it's a single word description. So anxious, excited, proud, or angry. Those are all feelings. And like I said, we experience them in our bodies from the neck down. Whereas saying, I have too much to do and not enough time, that is a sentence, which means it's a thought. And a thought happens in our mind, which is above the neck. Okay? Now, this is important because our thoughts are what cause our feelings. When we think a thought, we feel a feeling. So for example, when I think, I can't do that, I feel doubt. Or when I think, I can do that, I'm going to figure it out, I feel confident. So now that we know overwhelm is a feeling we feel and it's caused by our thoughts, or in the case of us ADHDers, it's usually lots of thoughts buzzing around. It's also important to note that trying to suppress thoughts And when I think of suppress, I think of like lifting up the rug and kind of sweeping stuff under it and putting it back down, and there's a little lump. When we try to suppress our thoughts, it is a virtual impossibility. Okay, this is according to neuroscientists. So instead, what we want to do is we want to acknowledge our feelings and then look at the thoughts causing them. So now that we understand what overwhelm is and what causes it, we can start to talk about how to manage it and how we can ultimately overcome our overwhelm. So, first thing that you need to know, my friend, is that you cannot think your way out of overwhelm. Trust me, I have tried many times in the past. What we've got to do instead is we have to get out of our own head. Okay? If you were to imagine that you're at a really busy concert and you're surrounded by people and you can't see your way out to the exit that you need to get to. Okay? You're all turned around, you've been dancing, you've been having a great time. What you need to do is you need to get to the side of the arena where the concert is. You need to go through the crowd to get to the side or get up high so you can get a different view, a different perspective. Then you're able to identify, great, now I know where I am. I know what's going on. I know how to get to the exit. Okay. We've got to get outside of your head to get a different view and identify what's going on. Okay. When we do that, then we can begin to take productive action. Now, I know what you're going to say, my friends. Okay. Trust me, I know. When you're overwhelmed, the last thing you want to do is to take a break and, you know, step away to take a few minutes to get out of your head and write some things down. Trust me, I know that. I understand. But I promise you that doing this is exactly how you will begin to feel better and actually get things done, things that make a difference. Okay. And I'm going to share a really powerful example of this as we go through the four steps. Okay. Staying inside of the mind that is having the thoughts that are causing you to feel overwhelmed is not going to solve the overwhelm or magically make you do all the things that you need to do. Okay. If anything, it's probably going to cause you to shut down or maybe go in search of dopamine, say scrolling your phone, eating some, you know, sugary foods or some chips or Netflixing. And maybe it would even cause you to flick from one thing to the next, not really getting anything done or finished. So my friends, how do we manage our overwhelm so we can feel better and actually get things done? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to share with you the four steps, simple process that you can use to overcome your overwhelm. I'm going to go through each step and explain what it looks like. Now remember, I'm only giving you one thing to remember, and that is to download the free guide that walks you through it so that you don't have to worry about remembering all of this and all, you know, all the things I'm about to say, okay? I've put it in a simple guide. It's totally free. So again, head to zenajones.com/52. Remember, it's 52 because this podcast is a year old today, or at least it is at the time of this being released. All right, so go grab that guide. You don't need to worry about, you know, working memory. I don't know about you guys, but my working memory, I was just at an appointment actually earlier this morning. I went to see a naturopath for some skin issues that I'm having. And she's telling me all these things. And I'm saying to her, are you going to email me this? Because I'm not going to remember this. My working memory is already like struggling to hold on to anything you've said. And she laughed and she said, yes, don't you worry. I'm making notes and I'm going to send you all of this. And I was like, thank you. Because as she's talking about herbal supplements and cutting this out and trying this, and I was just like, what? I don't remember anything. She told me lots of stuff and it all sounded great. But I was like, yeah, nope, I don't remember it. So that, my friends, is why four steps for this is in a guide for you, okay? Trust me, I get it. So what are the four steps? The four steps to overcoming overwhelm. Number one, identify and name the overwhelm. Number two is take a time out. Number three is dump it all out. And number four is the doing step, where we do the three D's. Okay, it's triple D's. So I'm going to go through each of these. So number one, identify a name. So take a second and think back to the last couple of times that you felt overwhelmed. What did it feel like? Like, what were the sensations that you experienced in your body? Were you breathing faster? Was your chest tight? Did your shoulders maybe feel heavy and stiff or restrictive? Was your heart racing? Those are your red flags, okay? Those are the flags waving at you, hey, overwhelm, 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 right? The more you are aware of them, the sooner you can notice when the overwhelm is beginning and the sooner you can deal with it. And what that means is the less consuming it will be. We must name it to tame it, okay? Science shows that when a feeling is named, correctly named and labeled, a shift happens in the brain. We begin to move away from fight or flight, okay, and regain control of our logical thinking brain. So also what happens when we're able to name that feeling is it begins to help calm us and it decreases impulsivity. Okay, powerful stuff. Step number two is take a time out and step away. So just like a sports team will call a timeout when things are really heating up. You know how they'll call timeout in the middle of a game and they'll all huddle together and they need a few minutes. They need to reassess the situation, what's going on, check in with their goals. You know, it's really a time to regroup and make sure that they are working effectively. We want to do that exact same thing for the same reasons, okay? Before we get to the stage of being so overwhelmed that we disengage or start distracting or disassociating, which often happens with unmanaged overwhelm. Instead, we want to take a time out, take a few minutes to really go through this process, okay? So what that means when we take a time out is we want to start by stop doing what we're doing. That's not a great way of saying it. We want to stop doing what we are doing and step away, okay? That's what we want to do. Time out means put down the laptop, put down the washing, put down whatever you're doing and step away, all right? And first of all, and this is a very important, we want to take a few very deep breaths. Now, stay with me, because sometimes when I say breathing, people are like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, oh, yeah, I know, right? Of course I'm breathing. It's like, I get it. This is how I used to approach it. And I've actually learned so much about the power of breath work and how it helps to calm our central nervous system and the science behind it that now I'm like, actually, I get it. I get it now. I see the benefit. I really get it. So to share some of that with you, a 2018 study from the Department of Stress and Health found that our brains, they're so smart, our brains have paired the luxury of a long exhale with safety, okay? So here's how I like to do this. Take, for example, if I'm driving to a speaking event and I'm speaking and I always get nervous ahead of time, what I will do on the drive there is I will use this technique where I inhale for 3 seconds, and then I exhale for 5, okay? And I will do this a bunch of times. I recommend that you do it 4 times and make sure that you are, you know, safe to do so, that you perhaps are sitting down or, you know, like you're not somebody who is prone to fainting or anything like that. Make sure you are safe to do this. But inhale for 3, count. I go 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi. I don't even live in the United States and I don't know why I do the Mississippis, but I do. And then you exhale for longer than you're breathing in. That's really important. Now, I like to place a hand on my belly if I can. Obviously, when I'm driving, that's not always appropriate. But if I'm in my office, for example, you know, I will often put a hand on my belly because that way I can make sure that the air when I'm inhaling gets past my rib cage down into my belly. Okay, because often when we're in that fight or flight state, we're only taking short breaths and we barely get them into our chest. Okay, so that's another thing I like to do is place my hand on my belly and take my one, two, three, in, and make sure my belly's expanding, and then the exhale as I'm counting one, two, three, four, five with my Mississippis. Okay. Now, by breathing out for longer than we're breathing in, we can begin to help calm our nervous system, our fight or flight response. And when we do so, we're able to regain control of many of our body's resources that have been deployed to, we're in a state of emergency, we're in fight or flight, you know, alarm, alarm, alarm. But instead, when we start doing this breathing technique, okay, what we're doing is we're able to regain some of those resources, which is fantastic as ADHDers because they can go back to our executive functions and helping us to do the things we need to do. But when we're in that fight or flight state, our resources are deployed elsewhere, meaning our ADHD symptoms and executive functions and all of that, like all of that stuff will be more challenging. Okay. So ultimately, by using this breathing technique, which really is only going to take us a few seconds, okay? By breathing out longer than we're breathing in, we're helping to move ourselves out of fight or flight, okay? Now, again, I don't expect you to remember all of this, okay? I'm giving you a lot of information and just explaining kind of the science behind it and how powerful it is. That's why I put these four steps nice and simple in that guide for you, okay? You've got like a simple guide that walks you through each of the steps, telling you what you need to know and how to do it. Okay? So don't forget, download it. Number three, the third step here is to dump it. All right? Dumping all of the thoughts that are buzzing around in your head out and onto paper. Trust me, that step alone, it always just feels like a breath of fresh air, like I can finally exhale when I do this. Okay? I like to think of it as like a dump truck. Okay, there's a dump truck and it's carrying this huge load of dirt. And it's moving really slowly because it's heavy. Okay, when a truck is fully loaded like that, it crawls along going very slowly. So what we're wanting to do is dump out all of that dirt, get rid of it so that we can move more easily and freely again. So the goal of this step is to get all of the shit buzzing around in your head, all of the thoughts that you've got about what needs to get done, how much time you have, how much pressure you have, how your partner never helps, how you don't know where to start, how you just want to break, all of the things out of your head and onto the piece of paper. Okay, now don't worry about anyone seeing it because you can tear it up and burn it afterwards or throw it in the trash, okay? Just out and onto paper. So writing it down does two very powerful things for our brains. First of all, it helps to slow us down. And I don't know about you, but my brain goes a million miles an hour. It is busy. It is fast. It is speedy. So this process helps me to slow down. And it is proven to, again, start to create a bit more of a calm sensation, create a sense of relief because we're emptying everything out. Now, the second powerful thing it does is it helps us to see all of the pieces. The writing slows us down enough to see all of the pieces of the puzzle. Now, in the PDF that I have created for you, I have included specific questions for each of the five types of overwhelm. Now, I did this to help prompt you in doing this in case you need a bit of help with knowing what to write or where to begin. Okay, so I've got various questions inside the PDF to help prompt you with that writing to get you started if it's something that you know, might find a little difficult. Now, a couple of tips here when it comes to getting everything dumped out of your head and onto the paper. All right, I'll often refer to this as a brain dump. Okay. Tip number one is don't judge your thoughts or your writing, okay? As I said, you don't have to share it with anyone. You can get rid of it once you're done. We just want to get it all out so we can have a look at it. And the second one is watch your self-talk, my friend. Please, beating yourself up, it makes it so much worse, okay? You deserve to be treated the same way that you treat those that you love and care about. So please be kind. Step number four, this is the do step, and it is the three D's: delegate, disregard, at least for now, and decide what to do next. Now, in the previous episode, episode number 51, which was the first part of ADHD Overwhelm, I shared with you how I had a client come to a coaching session and she told me that she was so overwhelmed. And she told me how she had 2 hours after we got off this call and 20 things that she needed to do. Okay, so she is a teacher and it was the very first day of the school term where the kids were actually going to be in the classroom. Okay, first day of school year for the kids coming in. So that meant that certain things needed to be done before they arrived so that everything was ready. Okay, so what I did was I led her through this process, this 4-step process to overcoming overwhelm. Okay, we identified the sensations in her body. And then I led her through taking a few deep breaths, all right? And she began to slow down. And then I asked her, tell me all of the things that need to get done and tell me all of your thoughts about getting it done. And she verbally dumped it all out. And as she did that, I wrote it all on the whiteboard as fast as I could write. And I wrote it all out for her to see. And right away, once she had finished, she was able to see that she actually only had 10 things that needed to get done, not 20. So that was simply her brain, just like mine does, right? And many of us ADHDers, it was her brain being quite extreme, very kind of all or nothing. I like to call this my dramatic brain. Like I tell stories in a very dramatic way and sometimes I will dramatize things that have happened, you know. That's something I just do. And that's exactly what her brain had done. She had convinced herself that she had 20 things that she had to do in 2 hours, but once we got it all dumped out, she could clearly see there are only 10 things here, not 20. So already she was starting to feel relief simply by doing the brain dump and looking at all of this information in front of her. Okay, perspective is a very powerful thing. Our brains are sneaky. They dramatize. Sometimes they lie to us. Okay, so after this, I went through and I asked her some questions. I said, what here can we delegate? Can someone else do some of the things in this list? And yes, she has a TA, which I believe stands for teacher's assistant, who could do a couple of these things. And I asked her then to go through and separate out the urgent from the important. So what is urgent has to be done before the kids get into school today? Versus what is actually just important and does need to get done quite soon. And she told me that there were 2 very urgent things and 5 important. And with the important, she actually had, you know, somebody else in another department that she could delegate one of those things to who was, you know, part of the team involved. I didn't fully understand it, but I didn't need to, okay? And then there are also a couple of things that once the students were in, once they had arrived, then they could do it together. So her and the students could go through and do some of those activities together. And then she actually said, well, I've actually got a 2-hour block this afternoon where I've got like admin time. I'm actually out of the classroom and somebody else is running the classroom. So during that 2-hour block, then these remaining things could get done. So straight away, she only had 2 urgent things to do before the kids arrived. One of those was updating the roll with all of the kids' names and printing it out. Okay, so you call the roll when everyone's there and check them off. Makes sense. And then the other one was naming the kids' trays in the classroom so they knew where to put their stuff. Okay, again, makes sense. So I asked her after all of this how she felt. And she said that she felt great. I can easily get those 2 things done and it'll be really fun to get the kids involved and it'll actually be really good for the TA to be involved as well for her learning and development. So through using this process, she went from overwhelmed to feeling great and actually really excited about that first day of school with the kids. But I really want you guys to see and notice and pay attention to the amount of things that she had to do didn't change. although in her brain it was intensified, but all along it had only been 10 things. So the amount of things she had to do didn't change. The amount of time she had didn't change. But by using this 4-step process, she was able to shift her thinking, okay? And by doing so, she started to feel better and was no longer overwhelmed. Also, it made her more productive. It made her focus on the things that actually mattered and made her more productive instead of trying to, you know, flick around doing lots of different things and not necessarily focusing on the things that were urgent rather than simply important. Okay, that's how powerful this process is, my friends. So if you haven't yet downloaded the PDF where I walk you through exactly how to do this, what are you waiting for? I get it. If you're driving or out walking, I love to listen to podcasts on my walk. I get it. But there is a little link there, okay, at the top of this episode. Otherwise, you visit zenajones.com/52 and you can have a copy of this to walk you through the next time you are overwhelmed. If I can overcome overwhelm, it is something I very rarely experience. And when I do, it's usually the sensory overwhelm. If I can overcome it, because, I mean, for a number of years, I was constantly overwhelmed. I was always, you know, saying, I have too much to do. I don't have enough hours in the day. I've literally felt like, and I think I would have said this probably out loud at the time, I felt like a headless chicken running around with its head cut off. Like, that was how I felt. Constantly trying to distract myself from feeling it all, from my life by, you know, binging on Netflix and drinking wine every night. And I was always eating sugar and like I just couldn't get enough and just trying to disengage from all the shit going on in my head. If I can overcome that using this process that I have just shared with you all, then so can you. Okay. So grab that free PDF, go through the 4 steps, and then let me know how you get on. Reach out to me on social media. Come and find me on Instagram or via email and tell me how much better you actually feel when you start using this process, because it works, my friends. All right. That's it. Huge love to you all. Happy overcoming overwhelm. Take care. I'll speak to you next week. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.